Genesis chapter 3, the serpent. Now the serpent was more subtle, he was more cunning than any animal of the field which the Lord God had made. So the snake, the serpent, that tempted Adam and Eve was just one of the animals that God had made. It wasn't something that fell down from heaven to earth or got thrown out of heaven and got down to the earth. It was a specially created animal. And in Romans, in the New Testament, Paul says that by one man, and that's Adam, sin entered into the world. So sin entered the world by man, Adam, not by this snake, this serpent. The serpent simply made an animal-like suggestion. Well, you know, why don't you do it anyway? So we've got to remember that, because there's a lot of wrong understanding. And the idea that there was Satan or the devil or Lucifer here in the Garden of Eden, you never read the word Satan, nor devil, nor Lucifer in the whole of the book of Genesis. So the serpent said to the woman, "Has God really said, you shall not eat of the trees of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "Of the fruit of the trees of the garden we can eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Now, God didn't actually say, you must not touch it, but she'd added to God's word, or Adam had added to God's word. And so the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Now that is absolutely a lie. So that was a lie. You will not surely die.
Who said that?
The serpent. "Rather, God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband, and he ate. So then, this was the lust of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride of life, as John puts it in the New Testament. It looked so good. If only I could eat that. When they had all the trees of the garden they could eat from. So she disobeyed God's word because she put the word of the serpent as more important to her. Because she wanted that to be true. She wanted to take what looked nice and yummy and would make her as God. "And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron cloths. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So they were just like children. Did something wrong. Let's try and hide from mummy and daddy in shame. So the fig leaves wouldn't really have covered them. They would have been all nice and glossy when they started, but then they would have soon got tatty and not very nice, because trees have nice leaves. When you cut the leaf off from the tree, then it all goes brittle and no good, not very nice. "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' The man said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' God said, 'Who told you you're naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' The man said, 'The woman which you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate.'"
Do you think animals could have talked? Because otherwise, how would Eve have known?
Well, maybe, yes, maybe animals could have talked, or maybe the serpent was not actually a snake as we know them, because there's all different species of snakes, different types of snakes. Maybe it was a special creation that God created especially to test them. But of course, Balaam had a donkey that spoke to him, so God could have given animals the power of speech. But you see that the man, Adam, he blames the woman. "Not me, it was her. and you gave that woman to me, like sort of blaming God. So he hasn't really repented. The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Again, she won't take guilt. It's not me, it was him. Yahweh God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed above all livestock and above every animal of the field. On your belly you shall go," which implies he had legs before, "and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring, your children, your child, and hers. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." So that is the basis of the gospel, that the serpent has children, has a seed, and that is sin and the wicked people. And so does the woman, and the seed of the woman is Jesus. Now, if a snake bites a person on the heel, that is a temporary wound normally. But if a man stamps on the head of a snake, that destroys it permanently. So when Jesus died, he hit the power of sin on the head, but it bruised his heel. He died for 3 days, but he rose again. To the woman, God said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will have children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you have listened to your wife's voice and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil, in hard work, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will yield thorns and thistles, and you will eat the plants of the field." Now, it seems that they didn't actually eat animals until after the flood. "By the sweat of your face will you eat your food until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you will return." So then, we are made of dust, and we will return to dust. And so what that means is that we do not go on living after we are dead. And this is the truth, this is the reality, that man has made his theories about an immortal soul and going to heaven when you die and all this sort of thing, which are simply not in the Bible. The hope of the Bible is that those who are identified with God's way, God's promises, and in our days with his Son, will rise from the dead. The resurrection of the body. That we will be resurrected like Jesus was. And that's why we should get baptized. Because when you go into the water, it's like you die with Jesus. And when you come up out of the water, that's like resurrection with him.
So do you have to stay under the water for 3 seconds to represent 3 days?
Well, I suppose you could. But the idea is that you just go under the water, just quick, whoosh, and out, to represent how you die and will be resurrected, just like Jesus died and resurrected. The man called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Yahweh God made coats of skins for Adam and for his wife and clothed them, because I suppose those fig leaves that they were using were not really very good. Now, where do you think God got skins from? How do you get the skin of an animal? What do you have to do to the animal?
Kill it.
That's right, you've got to kill it. And in Revelation, you read about the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So it seems that it was a lamb that was killed, and it was that lamb which represented Jesus. So this then begins the great rescue plan that God had to get things back to how they were, that it required the killing of a lamb to cover their sin. But of course, the blood of animals can't take away sin, and so it needed the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus, the Son of God, to die so that we could have our sins covered. And eventually, it says at the end of the book of Revelation, when all has been said and done in the Bible, that finally, Eden will be restored. And that is why the purpose of God is with this earth. He's not going to destroy the earth. He's going to revive it as it was in the Garden of Eden, but even more wonderful in that we won't even have the possibility of sinning. Yahweh God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and also take the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore Yahweh God sent him out from the Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubs at the east of the Garden of Eden, and the flame of a sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life."
Cherubs, like cherubs on the...
Yeah, that's right, like the cherubs that were on the ark, that's right. And I guess they were something to do with angels. But really, this was the love of God, because if Adam and Eve had been naughty again, as they probably would have been, knowing them, knowing us, and they'd taken the fruit of the tree of life and lived forever, how awful that would have been to keep living forever in that fallen situation. Now, although none of us want to die, actually it wouldn't be much fun to keep on and on living forever how we are now. And so God, in his wisdom and in his love, didn't give us the opportunity to do that, but rather to be resurrected from the dead to this wonderful, eternal, restored Garden of Eden.